His a little grayer than mine. Hopefully it'll stay that way, unless he uses that formula. I want to talk to you tonight. Have you ever thought about, we've been talking about America and what is wrong with America. And I've been I work with some Christian guys at work, and a lot of the way that they act and the way that Christians are supposed to act are totally different, and this is kind of where my message came from tonight. Have you ever wondered, though, where has Christianity gone in America? Why is there Christianity so different than it used to be? Christianity now, everybody is a Christian, everything is okay, no matter what we do. Churches are totally different the way they do their services. There's really not a lot of preaching. There's more just get everybody in, make everybody happy, have everyone give your money, and everyone go home. Here we have a great church. We have a church that stands for the old ways, it stands for the old past, stands on the King James Bible. And unless you go and you know other Christians and talk to them and see what they talk about and see how they act, and you, like I turn on the TV sometimes and I turn on the televangelists to see kind of what they're talking about and the people that are there. And I turned on Joel Osteen the other day, Dave's favorite. And I can't stand Joel Osteen either, but the church that he has is a huge church. And I just wonder, that is what's wrong with America. America isn't going to churches that, as we have here, a preacher that preaches the gospel and preaches against sin. They go to churches that preaches everything's okay, everything will be fine, God loves you. And God does love us, but God wants us to be Christians. He wants us to act like Christians. And yes, again, I am going to preach on being a Christian.
Amen.
It seems like that's what I preach on a lot, but it'll be a little bit different. So turn your Bibles to Matthew. I'm going to be preaching out of the Old Testament, though, but I want to read a verse in Matthew first. We're going to be in Genesis, which is kind of funny because I'm not really an Old Testament guy, at least I thought. It's funny how God works. It seems like since I've surrendered to preach, I read more of the Old Testament than I do the New Testament. And I used, before, I didn't really like the Old Testament because of all the names that I can't pronounce. And I always thought, I'd just preach out of the New Testament. But God's, lately I've been teaching in Sunday school to the kids in the Old Testament, reading Deuteronomy and all the things of the children of Israel. But that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Genesis. But first turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and I just pray that, as Brother Dave prays all the time, Lord, pray that I decrease and you increase, Lord, and I just pray that you'll speak through me, Lord. You'll help me to say the things that you put on my heart, the things that you want me to say. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say, Lord, and I just pray that you'll be with the people, Lord, prepare their hearts for what I have for them and for what you have for them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I know that that verse is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the straight gate. If you found the straight gate, that means you're a saved person. And you should praise the Lord because you did, because it says, few there go in. Few there be that find it. Wide is the way of destruction. Wide is the gate. Now, if you're a saved person, you've gone in that gate. Now, that's why my message tonight is about the gate. Which gate are you sitting in? And we're going to be going to Genesis and reading about the gate that Lot sat in. But right now, I want to say, once you go into that gate, you can never go back out. Because you're always saved. You can never get unsaved.
Right.
So you can go, once you go into that gate, you're inside the gate. But then you can sit at other gates. There's other gates that you can go to. And it's not any gates for salvation, but it's gates on being a Christian. And this is what I want to talk about. What gate are you sitting at? Are you sitting at the gate that you go in? Straight is the gate. Straight is the gate that Jesus Christ wants us to follow. The way that he wants us to follow is narrow. This Bible is narrow. This is what he wants us to follow. This is the gate that we're supposed to be in. This is the gate that we're supposed to sit in. What's wrong with America? We went to a different gate.
Right.
America has gone to a wide gate because there's so many different versions of the Bible that everybody uses. That's a wide gate, and that leads to destruction.
Yep. Yes.
What's wrong with America is we left this gate, the gate that God wants us to be at. We left the King James Bible. We're sitting at gates that preach preach another Jesus, as you say. They preach out of a different Bible. Warning, The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. You can't separate Jesus and this Bible. So when you're preaching out of another Bible, you're preaching another Jesus. And the Bible says that if you preach another Jesus, you should be accursed. That's what's wrong with America. America is following a different Jesus. America is following a different way. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. And I'm going to ask you, what gate are you in? Genesis 19 said, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." We're going to read there in a minute. But Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now, you all know Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah was a place of immorality, a place of sodomites, a place that was wicked in God's eyes. Chapter 18, verse 20 says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, he was going to go and destroy them." I'm going to submit to you that America is like Sodom and Gomorrah. America is a wicked and sinful place. God hears the cries of all the sin that we have in America. And why do we have those sin? Because we left the gate. Now, I want to look at Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot's father died. So Lot, I think Abraham didn't have a child, so I think he kind of took him under his wing as his own son. It doesn't say that, but he took him with him when he left. Although, as preacher says, he never should have took anybody, but he took Lot with him when he left. So he was under the guide of Abraham, and I believe that Abraham taught him the things of God. I believe that Abraham showed him the way he was supposed to live his life. Well, it got to the point where they had so much stuff because God blessed Abraham so much that Lot got a portion of that. And they couldn't live with each other anymore because their herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, Lot's herdsmen, were fighting against each other. So Abraham said, "You know what? We're going to have to split up because land can't keep both of us together because we have so much cattle." So he said, "Okay, Lot, you choose where you want to go." So he gave Lot the choice. Lot chose to go towards Sodom. If you turn to Genesis chapter 13. Starting in verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelleth in the cities and plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." Verse 13 says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Well, I believe that Lot knew that they were a wicked and sinful place to go. But Lot chose that place because it said it was well watered. He chose that place because he thought it would benefit him. Right. It's like Dave preaching Sunday school. Do we do things that we know are wrong that might benefit us, but we do them anyways? Right. I petition you that America has done that. America has chosen to be what we are today. Yes. We have chosen to be a sinful nation. Yes, we were created as a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation in name only, I believe. We're supposed to be a Christian nation according to the whole world. That's why the Muslims hate us, because we worship Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be Christian. We are supposed to be somebody that they look to have morality. We have no morality in America anymore. We have, you say, well, we can't be like Sodom and Gomorrah. That was full of homosexuals. We're having the gay games in Cleveland, Ohio. We voted to have the gay games. We petitioned to have the gay games here in Cleveland, Ohio. So are we not like Sodom and Gomorrah? Wow. We're choosing to be like that. Yep. Lakewood is a place that is known all around the world for being a homosexual city. Right. It has more homosexuals per capita, other than San Francisco, than any other city in America. Well, that's right 45 minutes away from here. Yep. As I told the kids one day, have you ever seen a Christian parade? Has anyone ever had a Christian parade? Just a Christian parade.
There you go.
Well, we have gay parades.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
We can't. If we decided we're going to have a Christian parade, do you think they would allow that? We would be sued by the ACLU. We would be sued by somebody. We don't speak out against homosexuality. We don't speak out against sin. That's what's wrong with America. The reason we don't speak out against it is because we got away from the gate.
Yeah.
We're sitting in a different gate. We're sitting in a gate where we're choosing homosexuality because there's a lot of gay people that have money.
Yep.
A lot of people in Hollywood have a lot of money that are homosexuals, that are sodomites.
Right.
People don't like to talk against that because they want their money because it's going to benefit them.
Yep.
The other day, I seen in the paper they had a Jewish wedding, which is no big deal, except those two gay guys that got married in a Jewish temple. And the sad thing was, there was people sitting inside of it supporting it. Now you would think, no way, not in a Jewish temple. There's no way. But it was in the paper. They have homosexual preachers. They have gay preachers. And you can't say anything against that because you're intolerant if you do. Now, I don't know if they passed a law or not, but they're going to pass a law that it was going to be a hate crime if you spoke against gays. So if that's the case, if it does pass, when preacher preaches against gay people, he could literally be put in jail because it would be against the law. We can't speak against them, but they can speak against Christians. There's a cross in the Mojave Desert that is covered up by plywood because somebody that lives miles and miles away said that's offensive to him. There's 9,000 square miles of desert where this cross is. You can't even see it. But he's taken in the court, and they're going to decide whether or not they have to take that cross out of the Mojave Desert. And the reason it's there is because it was the land was given to the veterans, and they put a cross on it. Well, then they sold it to the government. So now they're saying, well, if you want to keep it, you have to buy the land back from us. Or the government's going to make them take the cross out. Why is that offensive? You can't even see it. It's in the middle of the desert. But that's what they do. But what do as Christians? We don't speak out against anything. We don't speak out against sin. And the guys that I work with, and this is what got me to this point, they say things, and I was telling Brother Dave about this. There's a guy named D-Ray. He's a big guy. He's about 6'4", 250 pounds. And he's a Christian man. But the things that come out of his mouth, there's no way you would think he was a Christian man. He said some things the other day, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him Sunday night because I got sent to a different part of the airport. But tonight when I go to work, I'm going to confront D-Ray and tell him that he needs to keep his mouth shut. I don't think he's going to punch me in the eye. He may get upset, but he's a pretty nice guy. But I'm going to tell him, you know, as a Christian, that's offensive to me because other guys know that you're a Christian. You're giving a bad name to him, and you're being offensive to the cross. And he's being kind of like Lot. And the Bible says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So when you read the Old Testament, it is for our learning of what happened, what the children of Israel did, how God blessed them, and how God cursed them. So when you look at Lot, there's many things that you can go with what Lot did and the way he lived his life, and we're going to go to that. Lot was with Abraham until he chose to go somewhere else. Kind of like, and I liken that to America was a godly nation until we decided to go away from this Bible. So we got away from the things of God. So we chose to go to a different gate. Lot chose to go to the gate of Sodom. He was in a gate with Abraham where God was. Now, I know that Abraham is the one that told him he had to go there, but to me, he could have said, no, I don't want to go. I'll get rid of all my other stuff, and I want to stay with you. I want to stay with God. And that's where a lot of churches went the wrong way. They said, no. They didn't say, no, I'm going to stay with the King James Bible. They said, no, you know, I got a lot of stuff that looks pretty good over there, so I'm going to go over here, and we're going to have a different kind of service. We're going to have a different kind of church. We're going to preach differently. We're not going to preach against sin. We're going to come and have drums and guitars, and we're going to preach out of a new Bible. And on the radio, the guy, and just like Preacher was saying this morning, I have a lot of scripture to read, and a lot of times that bugs people when they got to flip through their Bible.
Right.
And a guy on the other day said, you know what? People don't like to flip through their Bible. They get bored, and they get distracted when they flip through their Bible. And I said, that's a sad statement from a man that they teach us in Bible school that you shouldn't give a lot of scripture because people lose interest in what you're saying. To me, if you lose interest in God's word, then you need to check your salvation.
Amen.
I would rather flip through the Bible and just read what God says.
Amen.
Just like preacher said, that preacher's better than anything.
Amen.
But it's funny that he said that this morning because I was going to bring that up. How sad is it that we don't really want to flip through the Bible? We're getting to be like it used to be in Catholicism where you don't open your Bible. The priest will just tell you what you need to know,
right,
and you go on about your happy way.
Right.
And that's kind of what we do in church. We don't really want to look at it. A lot of times we don't even bring the Bible.
Yeah.
We have Bibles abundantly here in America, but half the time we don't bring them. We don't look at them. We don't read them. If the only time you look at your Bible is in church, then you should be at least happy to do that.
Yes.
We don't look at them at home.
Right.
Do we flip through them at home?
Amen.
Most of us don't.
Yep.
Anyways, turn to Genesis chapter 19. We're going to look at Lot.
Look at that 13:13 though before you leave it, Bobby. Look what God says about the career.
13:13 says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." I believe that's what the Lord's saying about America today. We are wicked and sinful to the Lord exceedingly. You say, well, how can we be? We chose to be that way. We've chosen to be. It's okay to have abortions. It's okay to have homosexuals do whatever they want to do. It's okay to have all these things. Here in Ohio, we're supposed to be this Christian state that we push. We push Bush over the edge because we are Christians. But now we voted in casinos.
Yeah.
Why did we vote in casinos? For the money.
Yep.
And a couple Christian guys at work said, "Man, I'm glad the casinos came in. We got jobs now." And I said, "Well, I voted against them." They, "You did?"
Amen.
It's like, well, yeah, you're going to get, and we're construction workers and all union construction workers as a vote Democratic.
Amen.
No matter what.
Yep.
Whether you vote Democratic or Republican, I don't really care. If you're going to vote for somebody just because of money, then you need to check yourself. But that's what we did in Ohio. We voted casinos in. It's okay that that's a wicked thing because we're going to make money off of it.
Right.
So we chose like Lot did. It's going to benefit us. He said, it's going to benefit me. I'm going to go towards Sodom. It's going to benefit us, so let's vote in casinos. And this might get some people mad, but we voted in Obama.
Yep. That's right. Yep.
And I told this to D-Ray, who, by the way, is a black man. I said, D-Ray, we voted in a president, President Obama, that is for abortion, that is for homosexuality, and it's for Muslims. He quotes things out of the Quran. He apologizes for being an American. But that's who we voted in. Why did we vote him in? For money. Because we all thought, if he gets in, especially the union people, if he gets in, we're all going to get jobs. We're all going to make more money. And that's what they tell you. They send out pamphlets in the union. Vote Democratic. Vote for every Democrat you can. Now, whether they're Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. If they're for abortion, we should never vote for them.
Amen.
We should never vote against God,
yep,
no matter who they are.
Right.
And if you can't vote for any of them, don't vote for any of them.
Amen.
Don't just vote, say, well, I got to vote for someone, so I'm going to vote for him because it'll benefit me in the long run. Look where we're at today.
Yep.
Obama is doing anything that he can to support Muslims, to say that he says that we owe Muslims our indebtedness because of the things they brought to us, algebra and all these other things. And I don't know if that's true or not.
911.
But whether they're Muslims or not, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
They're against God. They're against Christianity. They're against America. But we voted in a man that was for that.
Right.
And the sad thing is we knew it.
Yep.
But we voted him in anyways because it would benefit us, so we think, in the long run.
Right.
Now let's look at Lot. This is kind of, a lot of Christians, this is kind of what we do. In verse 1 it says, And there came two angels in Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and bowed himself with face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into the house, and him, and entered into the house, and he had made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now let's go back and look at verse 1. When he seen them coming, he was sitting down with his buddies. Because Lot was buddies with all the gay people.
Yeah.
He was sitting down at the gate with his buddies. Yep. And he said, you know, hey, angels. Hey, he didn't want the man of God or see anybody that was godly see who he was sitting with. So he ran up and said, hey, you know, come on, let's go in my house. Hurry up, come on, get in the house. Hurry up, get over here. And they said, no, we're going to stay outside all night. We're going to stay out here. And he's like, no, you can't do that. You can't stay out here. People might see you knowing that you're with me. Either we don't want them to know that we know godly people, that we're Christians, or we don't want Christians to know that we have ungodly friends.
Yep, right.
We do one of the two. So he hurried up, jumped up, ran, and said, come on, let's go. So he got him to go in the house finally. So he thought, okay, I'm safe. I got him in the house. They'll stay here all night. Then I'll rush them out in the morning before anybody gets up, and nobody will know.
Yep.
They won't know that. Although the angels already knew Sodom and Gomorrah was a sinful place. They already knew what Lot was doing. Just like God already knows what you do. God knows what gate you're sitting at. God knows what gate America's sitting at. So Lot rushed him into the house. If you continue reading, verse 4 says, But before they lay down, the men of the city, even at the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about old and young, all the people from every quarter. They called in a lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And look what he said. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He called them brethren. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to call a homosexual my brethren. Now, they could be your brethren if they come out of that sin and they repent of it and they accept God and become saved, but then they're no more a homosexual.
Right.
You can be brethren with other people of Christ, but you can't be brethren with the lost. He called them brethren.
Yep.
Do not so wickedly. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as in good in your own eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He was willing to prostitute his two daughters that were virgins. He said, here, take them, do what you want with them. You say, well, that would never happen in America. There's no way that we could be like Lot. Does anybody ever heard about the Mormon church?
Yes.
There was a documentary on the other day of how they marry, the fathers marry the daughter of the mother, of the daughter of the mother. I don't know how it goes, but they give their 9 and 12-year-old girls to a 40-year-old man to be married.
Yep.
That happens here in America.
Yep.
Now you say, well, they're not Christian. They're not Christian, and we know that, but the world doesn't. The world looks at all religions other than Muslim and Jews as Christians.
Right.
You can say, well, that's not true, but it is true.
Yep.
Most people look at any religion as the same kind of religion. It's all Christianity. It's all lumped together. That's the way the world views it. So the world is looking at that saying, well, that doesn't seem right. If that's way, and the lady even said, if that's God, I don't want nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
So that's happening here in America, the same thing that happened there. Lot was giving his daughters away.
Yep.
Now, Lot came from a godly place. He came from a godly home because he was raised by Abraham. He came from a godly place. What happened to him? When you sit in the gate of sin and you sit in the gate of wickedness, that's what happens.
Yep.
You get... Right. You get to the point of thinking it's okay that if I do that, it's okay that that happens. And that's what happens to all these Mormon people. They sit in that gate and they're raised that way, so they think it's okay.
Yep.
Now I don't know if you read, when they raided that place and they took all those children out of the homes of those Mormons that had this camp, everyone was all upset. Oh, they took all those children away from their moms. But their moms are the ones giving them to the guys.
Right.
They should take all those children away from their moms.
Amen.
The only way to get away from that is, and they had a guy on TV, he says, I'm trying to unbrainwash myself that I'm to treat women as another person, not just as an object. They're brainwashed. And when you're around wickedness, that's what happens. You get brainwashed. Lot was around, I don't know how long Lot was there before the angels came and said they were going to destroy it. But he was there long enough that he was willing to give his two daughters up to these wicked men. Now, how about you? But I'm not giving my daughter up to anybody.
Amen.
I don't even want to give her up when she gets married. That's just me.
Amen.
But I couldn't imagine giving my, say, here, take my daughter.
Yeah.
Doesn't say how old they were, but it really doesn't matter how old they were.
Right.
I wouldn't give my daughter to nobody.
Yep. Amen.
Until she gets married. And then I'm going to have a hard time with it. Keep reading. Verse 9 says, and we won't read all this, but they tried to get into the door. They said, you know what? We're going to deal worse with you, Lot, unless you give us those men. So the angels grabbed Lot, bring him forth, and they blinded all those people. They blinded their eyes so they couldn't find a door, and they got him away. Go to verse 12 and said, And the men said unto Lot, Hast there any besides, son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So what did Lot do? Lot says, well, I better go talk to my family. So Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up you, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto the sons-in-law. Now, why is that? The son-in-laws didn't listen to him. Why is that? Because Lot never spoke against sin before.
Right.
Lot sat with the queers, never said it was wrong.
Right.
Lot sat with the wicked people, never said a word about it. Right. Now he's saying, you know what, we got to get out of here because this place is wicked and God's going to destroy it.
Yep.
They're like, well, why are you worried about it now?
That's good.
We've been living here all these years.
Right.
You haven't ever said a word against it.
Right.
Why should we believe you now?
Yep.
That's what's going to happen here in America.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And that's a picture, when God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a picture of the rapture.
Yes.
God is going to get the righteous out before he destroys it.
Right.
God is going to get the righteous out of America through the rapture before he destroys it.
Yep.
I believe in God's eyes, God wants to destroy America.
Yep.
And the only reason he hasn't, because I think Jesus Christ is saying, but Lord, there's righteous people down there.
Amen.
Just like Abraham says, Lord, you're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. So Abraham petitioned him. So God said, okay, if I can find 10 righteous people in there, I won't destroy it. How many did he find? Now Lot, I find hard to believe, was a righteous man. But apparently he was, because he got out. He did not live a righteous life. In America, if you looked at people and said, well, they're righteous. Or would they be like Lot? You would never know that. Would we be like, when you go and talk to your friends and talk to your family, are they going to look at you and say, what are you talking about? And I believe as a lot of Christians, that's what's going to happen. Those guys at work, there's no way that they could talk to somebody about being saved, because of the way that they talk and the way that they act. They're going to look at them and say, you're worse than I am. What do I need the Lord for coming from you?
Yep.
Although they need the Lord and they need to know that they're lost. But as they look at Christian people, they look at them as, what kind of life are you having? Your life is no different than mine, so what do I need you for?
Right.
What do I need God for? You're worse than me. You say worse things than I say.
Yeah.
And they do. Unfortunately, I hear it. Now, I'm going to lump every Christian into that, but there's four of us that are Christians. Three of them, you would never know they're a Christian unless they told you. I'm not saying that I'm any better than anybody else, but I try to live a Christian life, and I believe that people know I'm a Christian because of the way I act. So that's only 25%. So 25% of America, you would probably know we're Christians. The other 75%, you would have no idea. And Brother Mike can tell you, when you get on a job and someone says, hey, I'm a Christian too, you go, really? Would have never known that. Now, it's hard for us here because we're all friends with the same people here at this church. And most of us are godly Christian people, and we're living in a narrow way. We're living in a straight gate, the way that God wants us to live. So it's hard to see how other Christians live unless you're out there. It's hard to know what they think and what they say and how they live their life. Christianity is important to God. Now, getting people saved is the most important thing, but after that, God wants us to live a godly life.
Yeah.
Turn real quick to Matthew 28. The Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That means go and get them saved, and then baptize them. But look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always.
Amen.
Teach them all things. That means teach them all things in His Bible, all things that He commands us. It's not just about salvation.
Amen.
It's about how we live our life after we get
Amen.
Saved. How are you living your life as a Christian? Are you living the straight and narrow way like God wants you to, or are you sitting in another gate, the gate that leads to destruction? It may not lead to your destruction for heaven. It'll lead to your destruction here on earth, just like it does for Lot. It'll lead to your destruction in your own body, and the things that you do. It might lead to destruction for your friends. It might lead to destruction for your family. Because when Lot went and witnessed to them, they didn't believe him. So the way he lived his life was destruction for them. The way that he lived his life was their demise. They didn't have a chance to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. When you go and witness to your family, they're going to look at you and say, I don't think so. And then when the rapture happens, are you going to be like Lot? Let's look and see what happened to Lot. Verse 15 says, when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. He had his wife and two daughters with him. Out of all of his friends, out of all of his family, he had three people. Three people that he got to get out of that city. Three people that got to get saved from being destroyed. It said, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay in this plain, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Then what did Lot say? And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. I know you're getting me out, but I don't really want to do what you're telling me to do. He says, "Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." God is not going to get him out of Sodom and Gomorrah and take him somewhere he'd die.
Right.
But he said, "No, I don't really trust you, God. Let me go where I want to go." Not so, Lord. If you look at that, magnifying thy mercy, God magnifies his mercy to us every day. God magnifies his mercy to the United States of America because he hasn't destroyed it yet. God hasn't destroyed America because it would give a bad name to him. It would ruin his testimony because we are a Christian nation. But we don't act like a Christian nation. And as Christians, we should be appalled. We're like Lot. We sit at the gate and we don't say a word. Do we speak out against homosexuality? Do we speak out against sin? Do we speak out against drinking? Do we speak out against gambling? Obviously not, because we voted it in. How many Christians actually went out and voted against it? Or did they just say, "You know what, if I don't vote, then it's okay, because I didn't vote for it, but I might benefit if it passes. And I'll be okay because I didn't vote for it." If we're supposedly a Christian nation, then we should never have those things voted in. We should never have President Obama as our president. You can get mad or not, that's the truth. We should never have a man that stands for what he stands for as a Christian nation. We should have enough Christians go out and vote no or vote for somebody else other than having him in there.
Amen.
But we're like Lot. We sit at the gate and we don't say a word.
Yep.
Because we're benefiting off of those things.
Yep.
Continue on. Verse 20. "Behold, now the city is near to flee and unto thee, and this is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live." If you keep reading on that, we won't read it all. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but he said, "Okay, Lot, I'll let you go there. You can go to that city, and I won't destroy you, and I won't destroy it, but I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." But on the way out, his wife looked back. She got to a pillar of salt.
Yes.
Now you can say, why did she look back? We can speculate on a lot of things. The Bible doesn't really say. It just says that she looked back, and they said, if you look back, you're going to die. Preacher, I think, preached one time, she looked back because she knew her family was there, and they were going to die. You could say she looked back because she didn't really want to leave. She loved that place. I don't know. I don't know why she did, but she did. So now he's left with two people. Everybody that he had, tons of people, because he had herdsmen that took care of him. He had all these people that went with him. He had sons and daughters. He probably had grandkids as before. He had two people with him when he left Sodom and Gomorrah. How many people are we going to have when the rapture happens? How many of your family are going to go with you? How many of your friends are going to go with you? How many people have you told about it, and they believe what you say, and they're going to be with you when it happens? Today we sung that, Dave sung that song, A Midnight Cry. And I had a hard time holding back the tears. And I know everybody's excited about the rapture, and the rapture is going to be a great thing that happens. I got upset because all that I know, they're going to be down here, and they're not going to go up in a rapture. One, because I haven't witnessed to them. Another, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to stay down here during the rapture because other people's testimonies as Christians. That we can't, when we go talk to them, they're going to look at us and they're going to be like, I don't know about that. We're going to be as ones that mocked because of the way other Christians live their life.
Yep.
It's our job, even if someone is a Christian, to go tell them, you're not acting right.
Yes.
And maybe I waited too long to say that to D-Ray, but I'm going to say it to him, whether he likes it or not, whether I get punched in the nose or not, I really don't care. It's our job as Christians to speak out against sin. The Bible says to abhor evil. You say, well, he's not evil, he's a Christian. But he's speaking evil.
Yeah.
He's speaking evil things that I can't even repeat what he said. They're that bad. Out of a Christian man's mouth. It's our job to speak out against those things. So that when we do go to witness to somebody, when I try to witness to the guys at work that I haven't done yet, but I need to, and they look at me and say, well, he says he's a Christian. Why do I need that?
Yep.
What am I going to say? I have to say, well, you know what? We're not all that way. Not all Christians are like that.
Right.
But I shouldn't have to do that. As Christians, we should have a good testimony.
Amen.
So we can witness other people.
Amen.
Continue reading. Lot did all these things, and it said in verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. The reason Lot got saved is because of Abraham. Because God remembered Abraham. God remembered that Lot was with Abraham. The reason America's been saved so far, I believe, is because our founding fathers founded America on Christian beliefs. They founded America on, we want to go worship Jesus Christ. We want to have the freedom to do that. So God has not destroyed America because of our founding fathers and because of our Christianity, because of churches like this, because of Christians like you. God is not happy with all the other churches that are out there. You can say, well, yeah, but they're getting people saved. Are they? Are they really getting people saved? If we believe that the King James Bible is a true word of God, this is the incorruptible seed. The Bible says that you must be saved by incorruptible seed. All other seed is corruptible. Churches that use other Bibles, are they really getting saved? Have you ever listened to them on the TV? Do they preach salvation? I've never heard them preach salvation. They preach prosperity preaching. Everything will be good as long as you give to God. God will bless your life. And D. Ray told me that his preacher says that you need to hang around people that have money because that'll rub off on you. And he belongs to, it's called the Word Church in Cleveland. They have 10,000 members at this church. No, they don't. But that's what people have today. They have churches that preach everything else. Preacher just told me the church that some members that they went to, and I don't know if anybody knows Rick Warren.
Yes.
He has a book out called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I've been listening to the radio, and they've been talking a lot against it. And they had a guy talking. He has a book that goes against Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He is saying there's another way to go other than God's word. There's another way to go than believing the old Bible. So the preacher got this book, and he told his members, you know what, the old paths, I'm done with those. We're going to go a different direction. It was in Virginia, Steve Payton's church. They were a King James Bible-believing church. So you can't say, well, all King James Bible-believing churches are the same. Well, they're not. People go the other way because they look at it and say, well, you know what? All these churches that are doing this are huge churches. They have all these big works. They have all these big congregations. You know why they have them? Because they're not preaching against sin. People don't want to hear that it's wrong for you to cuss. It's wrong for you to drink beer. It's wrong for you to drink wine. I only drink wine with dinner once in a while. That's what a man told me who was a youth leader at a church. He said, well, me and my wife, we only drink wine at dinner time sometimes. So that's no big deal. I guess in your eyes, it is no big deal. In my eyes, it is. Could you imagine if me and my wife just drank wine at dinner? Would you want us being the youth leaders of your kids?
No way.
But that's where we're at. We're choosing the wide gate. We're not sticking with the narrow gate, which is this. The narrow gate is about salvation in Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way, and that's through him. There's only one way to live a Christian life. That's with this Bible. This Bible is narrow. I don't know, it's probably an inch and a half. That's pretty narrow. And they said, well, you're narrow-minded.
Good.
I am narrow-minded. I tell the kids all the time, if you go outside of this Bible, then you're wrong. This is our final authority. This is our only authority, God's Word. America was founded on this book. All of our laws are from this book. How did we know we shouldn't kill people? From here.
Yeah.
How do we know that we shouldn't steal? It was from here.
Yep.
How soon we forget the Ten Commandments. Yeah. We want to get them out, but that's where all of our laws come from. This is where our morality comes from. It doesn't come from within us because we have none as human beings.
Correct.
We have no morality. We have to be taught those things. If you just let a kid grow up however he wanted to grow up, he would be a very immoral kid. He would have no morality. He would have no rules. He would have no compassion towards anybody. That is all stuff that is taught through God's word. Continue on. After Lot was saved and he got away, what was the first thing that Lot did? He got drunk. After saying, God's mercy is so great, he went and got drunk. His daughter said, you know what? There's no other men around. Let's get Dad drunk tonight so we can have sex with him, so we can have kids, because there are no other men in the world. Apparently, he never went back and visited Abraham because then his daughters would have known there were other men out there.
Right.
So he didn't go back and visit his godly friends. He didn't go back to church. He didn't go back to where he was supposed to go. So his daughter says, there's no other guy, so we're going to have sex with Dad so we can continue his seed. And I know you're looking out there going, oh, that's gross. That doesn't happen. The Mormon church does it all the time. There was a guy the other day, I was watching a thing, he had 40 kids, I think, and 300 kids and grandkids. One man. So it happens. Today, in America, it happens. And do we say anything about it? Do Christians say, no, that's wrong, we should go against that? Nope, we say, well, it doesn't affect me, so I'm okay with it.
Right.
Doesn't affect me, I'll be all right. Lot went and got drunk. Now you say, well, his daughters made him drink. His daughters didn't make him drink. His daughters might have suggested, hey, Dad, you know what? It's been a rough day. Mom got turned into a pillar of salt. You're probably having a bad day. Our other brothers got killed. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped out. You lost everything. Somehow they had wine. I don't know how they had the wine. They obviously took it with them. So they took the wine with them. They said, you know what? Let's get drunk. Dad said, okay, sure. So he gets drunk with the first one. She has incest with him. She gets pregnant. So she told the other daughter, hey, you know what? I did it last night. Now tonight it's your turn. So what does Lot do again? Must still be having a really bad day. He gets drunk again. His other daughter has sex with him. They have a child. And then you never hear any more about Lot. Lot kind of just disappears out of the Bible. Lot's life, what was his legacy? If you look at, it says he grew up with a godly man. He chose sin over God. He lost most of his family and all of his friends. Because when he finally talked about God, it was too late. His daughters had children with him, and they became the enemies of the children of Israel. If you look, it said, the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, or whatever that is, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, if you turn to Joshua 24:9, I want to show you what Lot's legacy is. Joshua 24:9. I think that's it. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. He rose against Israel to fight against them. So Lot's son, his firstborn son, through incest, was the enemy of Israel. He was an enemy of God. Turn to Judges 11:4. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. They made war against Israel. They were enemies of God. So the two seed that his daughter said, we need to pass on Dad's seed, were enemies of God. A man that came from the father of our faith. He came, he lived with Abraham. Now his children, his grandkids, were enemies of God. Judges 10:6, it talks about both of them being enemies of God. That was Lot's legacy. Lot's legacy was, he was with a man of God. He had great riches. He chose to live in a gate of sin and wickedness. His legacy is he had two grandkids that are enemies of God. And Lot just disappears. You never hear any more about them. That's what's going to happen to America when the Christians leave. That's why America isn't in the Bible. Because I think God's going to destroy America once he raptures us out because of our sin and our wickedness. That's why we're not in the book of Revelation. We're not in the end times. We're nowhere to be found because God is going to destroy us because we're sinful and wicked. What gate do you sit at? What gate do I sit at? I have to ask myself that too. I sit at the gate of wickedness when I sit with those guys at work every day. If you would hear the things that they talk about. And I try to sit as far away as I can, but we have to sit close enough to our tools at the airport to watch them. You can't just leave them because of security. But it's my job to speak out against it. To speak up and say, hey, D-Ray, you need to keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
It's your job as a Christian to speak out against it. Like I told the teenagers, your generation needs to speak up. Your generation needs to speak boldly.
Yeah.
My generation has failed. My generation hasn't spoke up against anything.
Yep.
Your generation has spoke up against anything.
Yep.
The 60s generation was peace and love. Everything's good. Let's just do drugs and be happy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And that's been every generation since then has done that. We need a generation of young kids that are going to speak up for their Christian beliefs. They're going to speak up and say, you know what? I'm going to believe the King James Bible. I'm not going to go to a different Bible. I'm not going to go to a different church. I'm going to follow this Bible. I'm going to follow God and be proud of that. Amen. Stand up and say, you know what? I am a Christian. I voted against those things. Yeah. I voted against President Obama because he is for abortion.
Yeah.
You say that to somebody, like, you voted against him? Well, yeah. He promotes murder.
Yep.
You tell someone an abortion is murder, they look at you like, what are you, crazy? It is.
Yeah.
We're a wicked and sinful nation. We all say, no, we're not. Yes, we are. You might not be. Lot wasn't a sodomite, but Lot sat at the gate and said nothing. Is your legacy going to be the same as Lot's? When the rapture happens, how many people are you going to take with you? When you go to talk to them, are they going to look at you and say, get away from me. You've lived a life that is so filthy and wicked. Why am I even going to listen to you about God? Is that going to be your legacy? Is that going to be my legacy? I don't want it to be my legacy, and I'm doing everything I can to live for God. I may not do everything that God wants me to do, but one thing I try to do the best of is not bring a reproach to his name.
Amen.
That's what God wants from us. The Bible says in John 1, 6, I believe, if you say that you abide in him, then you ought to walk as he walked.
Amen.
What does that mean? Did he sin?
No.
He was sinless. If we're to walk as he walked, then we're supposed to be without sin. You can say, well, that's impossible. I'm a sinner. Yes, you are. But you choose to sin.
Right.
Because when you got saved, God destroyed that. God destroyed sin. God destroyed the law that sin had against you. But do you die to sin, as preacher preaches? Do you die to sin, or do you say, you know what? It's just too hard. I like you, sin. I'm going to keep you alive. You don't have to be a slave to sin. Jesus Christ killed sin on the cross.
Amen.
We choose to keep it alive. Because we enjoy it. What's your legacy going to be? What gate are you sitting at? Are you sitting at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah like Lot did? Or are you sitting at the gate of Jesus Christ and living the way that he wants you to live, following what he wants you to do, living for him? What gate are you at? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and I thank you for your word. Lord, and I thank you for a church that preaches your word and a preacher that stands firm and preaches no matter what you have to preach, preaches against sin. Lord, I just thank you for this church. Thank you for the people that are here, Lord. And I just pray that you'll always keep the preacher strong, keep him preaching against sin, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we go home, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. May put him down. Maybe you might say this. Preacher, pray for me. I know I'm saved, but lately I've been sitting at the gate. Scripture teaches about Lot over in the book of Peter that righteous man was so vexed daily because he lived with those wicked people. Sometimes we let our heart become infected with coldness for the things of God, and we get caught up with the evil of the world. It should have bothered Lot. By the way, Abraham should have never took him. He was, that was a sin that came back on Abraham because God told him back in Genesis 12, just take your wife and get out. Don't take anybody. He wasn't supposed to take even Lot. And isn't it interesting, Brother Bobby, that Lot was wealthy and he chose to get wealthier. And when he came out, instead of getting wealthier, he became bankrupt. Because sin always bankrupts. You always go bankrupt with sin. Spiritually, anyway. And he lost all his family. To me, that's what bothered me the most. He lost his family. Sin. Don't sit in that gate of Sodom. Bible says we're the salt of the earth. It's amazing. His wife turned around and became a pillar of salt. God was trying to tell us something there. The reason that those cities got destroyed, they lack salt. They lacked saved people. and they lacked it because Lot didn't do his job in witnessing and taking a stand. Maybe you're and you say, preacher, pray for me. Lately, I've been sitting at the wrong gate. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. Anyone else? Pray for me. I've been sitting at the wrong gate. Yeah, I see that. Pray for me. I've been sitting at the wrong gate. Yes. Pastor, I've been sitting at the wrong gate. And I sure don't want my life to end up like Lot's. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that we would be in the straight and narrow gate, the right gate, and that we would be careful to be away from those gates like are in Sodom, gates that would destroy our lives and our families, gates that would make us lose our testimony, and gates that would let us lose out on reaching people for Christ. Wasted life. Lot had a wasted life, and then he added more with those grandsons. Actually, those were his sons. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart we'd be careful of where we're sitting. Help us to stand in the right gates. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse are you on, Brother Mark?